the young lieutenant, which was, Pellion thought, with a trace of old bitterness, where the problem really lay. In the old days, at the height of the Empire's power, it would have been inconceivable for a man as young as Tichelle to serve as a bridge officer aboard a ship like the Chimera. Now, he looked down at the equally young man at the engineering monitor. Now, in contrast, the Chimera had virtually no one aboard except young men and women. Slowly, Pellion let his eyes sweep across the bridge, feeling the echoes of old anger and hatred twist through his stomach. There had been many commanders in the fleet, he knew, who had seen the Emperor's original Death Star as a blatant attempt to bring the Empire's vast military power more tightly under his direct control, just as he'd already done with the Empire's political power. The fact that he'd ignored the battle station's proven vulnerability and gone ahead with a second Death Star had merely reinforced that suspicion. There would have been few in the fleet's upper echelons who would have genuinely mourned its loss if it hadn't, in its death throes, taken the Super Star Destroyer Executor with it. Even after 5 years, Pellion couldn't help but wince at the memory of that image. The Executor, out of control, colliding with the unfinished Death Star, and then disintegrating completely in the battle station's massive explosion. The loss of the ship itself had been bad enough, but the fact that it was the Executor had made it far worse. That particular Super Star Destroyer had been Darth Vader's personal ship. And despite the Dark Lord's legendary and often lethal capriciousness, serving aboard it had long been perceived as the quick line to promotion. Which meant that, when the Executor died, so also did a disproportionate fraction of the best young and mid-level officers and crewers. The fleet had never recovered from that fiasco. With the Executor's leadership gone, the battle had quickly turned into a confused rout, with several other Star Destroyers being lost before the order to withdraw had finally been given. Pellion himself, taking command when the Chimera's former captain was killed, had done what he could to hold things together. But despite his best efforts, they had never regained the initiative against the rebels. Instead, they had been steadily pushed back until they were here. Here, in what had once been the backwater of the Empire, with barely a quarter of its former system still under nominal Imperial control. Here, aboard a Star Destroyer manned almost entirely by painstakingly trained, but badly inexperienced young people, many of them conscripted from their homeworlds by force or threat of force. Here, under the command of possibly the greatest military mind the Empire had ever seen. Pellion smiled. A tight, wolfish smile as he again looked around his bridge. No, the end of the Empire was not yet, as the arrogantly self-proclaimed New Republic would soon discover. He glanced at his watch. 2:15. Grand Admiral Thrawn would be meditating in his command room now, and if Imperial procedure frowned on shouting across the bridge, it frowned even harder on interrupting a Grand Admiral's meditation by intercom. One spoke to him in person or did not speak to him at all.
Continue tracing those lines,
Pellion ordered the engineering lieutenant as he headed for the door.
I'll be back shortly.